Pastor Peter reminded us last week that Lent is a special time of giving and remembering those in need, and you can do that through various methods. I want to share with you how you can also do it with an idea, and I'll give three forms of the way this same idea was processed individually, in participation with someone else, or simply giving it away. The year was 1958. You can do your math now. I was a high school sophomore at that time. That's why I can use notes if you do the math. And I didn't like the curriculum. I wanted more humanities. I wanted more art. And it was available right at UMD, just a few miles down the road. But I couldn't go there. So I cut school. I was a truant. I stopped going to school. And the vice principal of discipline caught me and said, you have two options. One, I'm expelling you. Or two, you can work in this little store downtown for 6 months and prove that there's something of merit within you. I took that second choice because my dad would have been informed with the first one. And things worked out. I graduated from University of Minnesota Duluth with a major in poli-sci and history. I mention those now because later you'll see how I used them, and a minor in art. So we're jumping ahead now to 1977. I'm a 34-year-old college president of a large technical college in Wisconsin. I'm mentioning large and the numbers so you can understand the critical mass we had to pull this next thing off. We had four campuses, 5,700 full-time students, another 6,000 part-time, and 38,000 continuing education students. So we had the finances and the capacity and the staff to start an assessment program in all of our 47 high schools of the district. Also then we let them have open access to our college, 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds, to attend our institutions, our four campuses. And if they had critical mass within the high school, I would bring the class opportunities to them. This worked well. After a couple years, we had thousands of students participating. And the governor, I have to check his name, of Wisconsin, it was, there it is. Lee Dreyfus, very nice fellow. He said, Dan, I want you to chair a state task force in cooperation with the co-chair, the Department of Instruction superintendent. We did, and we verified that this could be multiplied across the state. So it was in Milwaukee, it was in Madison, it was in all the hundreds of high schools across Wisconsin. This little idea was taking flight, and now tens of thousands of students were able to participate in that. And that was okay, but it was just the beginning, because, now I've moved to Minnesota, and still active in this program, and we had spread the concept to Ohio and across the United States. We now had critical mass to lobby this through Congress. So there's a bill, there's Volk Edders in their group, I know, called the Carl Perkins Act. And we inserted within that a rider called the Tech Prep Amendment, Technology Preparation. And we got $67 million the first year, $100 million the second year. So now this little tiny idea was across the entire United States, and millions of students were participating in it. So I'm saying this again because you can give and you can modify lives of hundreds of people with your simplest of an idea if you can move it forward. It's 1984 now. I'm back in Minnesota with Linda and my two daughters, and I'm currently the policy director of the two-year colleges, community colleges, technical colleges, also strategic planning director, and I'm saying that because I had access to all those institutions. And in temporarily also setting up Tech Prep in Minnesota, I was reminded how many students lacked access. And those students who wanted to go to Luther, or wanted to go to VEM, or who wanted to go to any university couldn't because the access was not there. So I decided that I would create that access. I immediately chatted with a young Joe Nathan at the Hubert Humphrey Center, and Joe's ideas were similar to mine. We made a coalition. Now this idea, remember, now we're using a coalition. And we came up with the concept that it would be free for these people, the textbooks they wouldn't pay for, transportation would be paid, and the district would reimburse the parents, blah, blah. This idea was now taken to Governor Perpich, longest serving governor in our state's history. He liked the idea, and he said, I think rather than an alternative, let's call it the Option Act. So now the governor owned this idea, not me. It's his idea. He made some phone calls. It was introduced in the House. It was introduced in the Senate. It moved forward rapidly. And Joe and I, of course, had to lobby it through. And it bogged down once. And I had to bring in students by that afternoon. So what do? You bring your daughters in. So Heather and Heidi appeared in front of the centers because they wanted to see students who could benefit from this, of all things. And Heather even got to say a few words, and it's in the state register. All right, that bill passed, and so now high school students could take courses in universities. And one of the first persons to do that is Michelle Matheson. She lived down by Mankato State, and in 19, I won't tell the year, very early on, she decided to take a higher ed math course, and thank you. After her, there were 779,000 students through the year 2017 in Minnesota that participated in the High School Options Act. It was a very powerful movement. And my belief, and I'll give you that data now because I'll forget to do it otherwise, and I promise not to give data, but Joe Nathan, I called him Young Joe now he's Grandpa Joe, and he's still involved in the movement. If the Minnesota high school graduation rate for the typical student is 83%, if you had one option course, it's 97%. The disadvantaged population graduated at a 63% rate. One high school option course at a tech school, at Dunwoody, anywhere in the state, raises that to 92%. Why? Because you see something beyond high school. You see a connection to the world of work and what you can do with your life. That's what it's about. All right. The next thing was kind of a sad situation. Minnesota is the worst state in the United States in terms of consular ratio to students. The states around us have about 400, and that's even too high. One has 325. We have 900 students per consular. In other words, you can't find counseling in the high school. So I decided, and this was kind of a screwy idea, and my other policy wonks told me that I'm going to create a virtual career office that will have all the tools that these youngsters need to make the decision. There'll be assessment, there'll be financial aids information, there'll be every course listing offered by all the 142 institutions in Minnesota, and you can pick and you can plan where you want to go. So that law was being drafted. I went through the governor, all the policy wonks, the chairman, so forth. And the legislature said, well, that's good, Dan, but at the same time, do the virtual university. So that was now then passed as what was called the higher ed bill of that year. And we put it under one family. And I thought, well, now I can get rid of this idea, except this one I had to create and to actually bring it into reality. So now I'm dealing with 142 institutions instead of 50. And we have to set the model for the virtual university in each one of them. We had to then create and program the virtual career office. And that was done. It came in under budget, I might add, in June of 1999. It was early, and we did stress testing on the U of M computer to make sure that when this expanded, we could keep up with it. When that happened, I retired at age 54 and became a world futurist because I didn't want to run anything again. I wanted to work on my own, and I did. Meanwhile, last week or the week before, I'm sitting in where you are listening to an address by Anna Madsen, and it was on a brilliant concept, and I wanted to buy her book. So I went out in the narthex there, and there was her daughter Ilsa. And I said, Ilsa, where do you go to school? I go to Duluth East. Wonderful, that's my hometown. Is the high school adequate? Well, it's fine. And the high school has this remarkable program, the high school, where I can go to St. Scholastica and take a course for free in sociology. I said, marvelous. Have you tried something else? She said, yeah, I'm taking a course down in Minneapolis in pre-law. That's a long drive, girl. No, it's not. I take it virtually. Really? That exists? She said, yes. I said, how do you find out about this? Well, every computer in our building is footnoted and saved to this Career Resource Center. Okay, with that in mind, that's what you can do with an idea. Turn it loose, collaborate, and make it come alive, and you'll affect the lives of hundreds of thousands, or one person, or millions. Now, maybe you're wondering why I stayed at that shop I was sentenced to work at in downtown Duluth for 6 months. I stayed 5 years. It was a Fanny Farmer chocolate store. And my job was packing the boxes with these marvelous chocolates. And it was an L-shaped counter, so when you walked in, you saw the ladies over here working, and I was over here packing the boxes. And I took it upon myself to be the quality control technician. So every time I was worried about a chocolate-covered cherry or something else not being right, I ate it. Thank you.